with 4x5, pretty much you got to put it on a tripod, which really changes the way you photograph. One, it's more constricted. You got to take the time, and so it's not very spontaneous. And you got to compose the shot more carefully, and wait for the lighting to be right. Wait for the right moment.
Wait for the wind to stop.
And wait for the wind to stop if it's really windy. And in Hawaii, it's a challenge because if you're shooting in full sunlight, you got immense problems when you go into the dark room. So waiting for the right lighting. And then you also have all the other paraphernalia, such as tripod, cable release,
dark cloth.
Lenses, different
film
lenses.
Film sheet carrier.
Yeah, film. Yeah, people kind of criticized us of actually using large format. You're shooting the destruction. Why not shoot the rawness by using handheld small format cameras? I mean, we could have gotten a lot more. We could have gotten different angles. But I think by using this aesthetic, we were contrasting and working within the genre of landscape photography rather than making beautiful shots like Ansel Adams was doing in the turn of the century. We were using the same techniques, the same, more or less the same cameras as the traditional landscape photographers, in contrast to show the destruction, to trying to show what paths uncontrolled development can take.
For me, it was like always countering like these visitor photographers that come in that, you know, really shoot just beautiful pictures of Hawaii, this parasitical view of Hawaii. Like how important it is that you're from the place that you photograph. But I think that always comes into question for me because there's so very little Hawaiian photographers, especially doing like documentary work. I mean, that's why we shoot in black and white. It's not color, right? That was definitely conscious.
Koppel and Mark photographed the project regularly until November of 1992, when they were temporarily barred from accessing the site by state representatives from the Hawaii Department of Transportation. Over the course of 4 years, Piliamo'o constructed a Kū'e archive of thousands of photographic documents that made visible the destruction of cultural sites and Wahipana in the highway's planned path.
Any sort of information on H3 was, you're only getting it from the Honolulu Advertiser or the Honolulu Star Bulletin or the Windward Sun Press. So there was no information. So our first show was in, I think, 1990 at Omalihio Park. You know, the reason to show it then was because no one knew what was happening. I think there was only a couple of archaeological reports done when we started. But if you think about it, most of the reports were done after the freeway was open. And how is that right? Right? I mean, I think that, and seeing every week, seeing like places like wiped out, like a cultural site gone, right? And for me, it was always an urgency to try to find out more or get that out. Through the process, I think we were part of the mitigation process. It was always asking, how come the reports aren't done yet, right? You're gonna mitigate, but you don't even know what you're mitigating.
In 2015, Aipohaku Press, with support from the Native Hawaiian Education Association, published a Lukuwalee, Devastation Upon Devastation. The book presents a selection of over 100 photographs by Piliamo'o, introduced through text by Richard Hamasaki and Dennis Kawaharada, accompanied by an expanded 11 pauku version of the Kanikau in Olala Hawaii and English, and a supplementary collection of primary source materials culled from the Honolulu Advertiser, Honolulu Star Bulletin, and other newspapers.
It took between 12 and 13 years to get this published. And we weren't sure, like, you know, we had a lot of controversial quotes that were in there that really brought out accountability to certain people, like politicians, or, you know, governors, or archaeologists, and all that. We didn't know if they would want to accept it because we didn't know if it was too controversial. You know, I think I told Mark, if I die, you make sure that you publish this book.
We got it published. It was persistence and luck. The book is like a manual for not lost causes, but a strategy of how to protest. Photographers have been photographing struggles since evictions of Chinatown and Kalama Valley, and Waiahole, Waiakane. That's why we included the timeline and the newspaper articles so people can remember.
When we were started documenting the H3 freeway, it was supposed to be the last major earthwork project on Oahu. And we know today that's not true, right, with the building of rail. So I think, you know, once something is built over, you forget what lies beneath. And the whole thing about doing this book, doing the work, it was about, like, let's not repeat history again. Let's do this right. But because you can see with rail, that's not happening.